The following episode of Cave Voice was recorded at 10:50 p.m., August 17th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Resist! Cave Voice of Resistance!
Hello. Thanks for listening to K Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly the Voice. Let's start the show by highlighting a bill that the House will be voting on at some point when they get back into session that some people might find of interest. H.R. 2501, Caring Recovery for Infants and Babies Act, otherwise known as the CRIB Act, which would allow state and Medicaid programs to cover inpatient and outpatient treatment for drug-exposed newborns. Wait a minute. Medicaid doesn't cover treatment for drug-exposed newborns?
What the hell?
And unless I'm reading this wrong, it seems that this bill is both a bill that would help people and a bill sponsored by a Republican.
Which is simply a combination not found in nature.
The bill is sponsored by Republican Evan Jenkins of West Virginia. For me, healthcare is a right more than a privilege, and more than that. For an infant to be punished and denied health care because their parents were addicted to opiates. Newborns that are suffering from withdrawal from heroin and other opioids while they were in their mother's womb should absolutely have access to treatment that's covered by Medicaid. But I don't know. I mean, that's just my liberal bias talking. Of course, there's always an argument against as well. The most upvoted comment against, with 28 upvotes on the Countable website, is Liberal Beater's comment. Yes, this genius's name is actually Liberal Beater. One word. He,
or she, I guess,
says, quote, "I'm only saying nay because it should be the children who receive support alone. Medicare is for those who can't help themselves, not for those who won't." Unquote. Punish the kids, right? All or nothing? Screw them? On the other side, the most upvoted comment on the issue with 121 upvotes is PLD's opinion. Quote, "Protecting the young and the helpless is a moral obligation that should be met by providing the needed health care." Unquote. Should anyone have a strong feeling about the bills I highlight on the show, you can call your representative directly or call the U.S. Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Let's get to the news. At the University of Virginia, UVA, the same place where white supremacists rallied and chanted racist slogans, hundreds came together for an impromptu candlelight vigil. The Daily Beast, Jackson Landers, pointed out that the event was kept secret to prevent it from becoming a media circus, but more importantly, to keep those damn white supremacists from finding out and potentially disrupting the event on Wednesday. What started as a low-key ceremony quickly became a sea of candles. Those gathered for the UVA vigils ranged from students to high-profile politicians. They marched from the campus's nameless field to the lawn, the same path walked by the neo-Nazis last Friday. As the country still reels from last weekend, the fallout and other reaction continues. Replacing torches with candles and hate with hope, thousands gathered across the United States Wednesday night to mourn the death of Heather Heyer and stand peacefully against violence, against the terrorism perpetuated by neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Southern Poverty Law Center is awesome. It called out specific accounts of white supremacist organizers and attendees of the Charlottesville terrorism event who were permitted to use PayPal before and after the events in Charlottesville, despite PayPal's acceptable use policy, which bans the promotion of hate, violence, and racial intolerance. Well, PayPal has since blocked payments to the majority of the accounts listed in the nonprofit's report, such as Richard Spencer's, the National Policy Institute, a white separatist think tank. When I was looking this up, the National Review, the right-wing site, reported this as more internet censorship.
Morons,
PayPal is not censoring anyone. They're a private business, something that the right prays to at night, doing something that the right loves to advocate, choosing not to serve someone. The same way the right wants to let bakers not serve gay people, black people, or whatever. Welcome to the resistance, PayPal. Even without last weekend, this country still has a growing problem on its hands. The real threat of domestic terrorism by white nationalists was known prior to the horrifying Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security briefed Donald,
the human tanning bed warning label,
earlier this weekend about the risk of attacks by ultra-conservative groups and stated that they likely will continue to pose a threat of lethal violence over the next year, unquote. Democrats on the House Committee and Homeland Security twice requested hearings on the growing threat of domestic terrorism in 2017. It wasn't until after Cito Mussolini's unhinged press conference defending the white supremacist at the Charlottesville rally.
So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
You suck!
That Chairman Representative Michael McCaul, Republican from Texas, announced that the FBI, DHS, and the National Counterterrorism Center will attend a House Homeland Security Committee hearing on September 12th. Similar requests for hearings have been made in the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate, but none have been scheduled. While Republicans have been quick to issue statements of condemnation for violence and extremism, there has been little accompanying action, let alone a willingness to call out Donald directly. This is unacceptable. According to the FBI, white supremacists are to blame for the majority of domestic extremism. According to researchers at the California State University, hate crimes are on the rise. Furthermore, there have been reports that the Lion King's administration de-emphasized resources for combating domestic terrorist threats, and it appears that the Charlottesville rally will be the first in a series of events held by white supremacists to draw attention to their views. Holding congressional hearings on the ongoing and rising threat of white supremacy and domestic terrorism is a critical first step towards giving this threat the attention and response it requires.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Call to actions.
Calls to actions.
Call to action.
So here is what we can do. Call the Office of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. That's 202-224-4751. That's 202-224-4751. We are calling this office because the organization is driving legislation related to the issue. Call them and say, "Hello, my name is what's-and-so, and I'm a citizen from this city. And I'm calling to ask that the committee hold hearings on the growing threat of white supremacy and domestic terrorism. As the horrifying events in Charlottesville underline, failure to address this issue puts the safety and security of Americans at risk. Hearings must be held to thoroughly examine and stop this very real threat." Again, call the Office of the Senate and Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, 202-224-4751. I've also posted this call to action on my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance. Like me and share me.
Fight the power.
Okay. I have to introduce you to this stand-up human being. Meet Christopher Cantwell.
When the Trayvon Martin case happened, you know, Michael Brown and Tamir Rice and all these different things happened, every single case, it's some little black asshole behaving like a savage, and he gets himself in trouble, shockingly enough. Whatever problems I might have with my fellow white people, they generally are not inclined to such behavior, and, you know, you gotta kind of take that into consideration when you're thinking about how to organize your society.
That is from the Charlottesville rally in the amazing must-see Vice News documentary, which I've also posted that episode of Vice on my Facebook page as well. It's a must-see. Well, about this Cantwell.
I'm trying to make myself more capable of violence.
The right-wing Nazi thug is crying. He is crying. Here is Cantwell again.
I have been told that there's a warrant out for my arrest. Excuse me. We've been coordinating with law enforcement the entire time. Every step of the way, we've tried to do the right thing. And they just won't stop, you know? We have done everything in our power. We have used every peaceful and lawful means by which to redress our grievances. And our enemies just will not stop. We've been fucking assaulted. They are threatening us.
Poor cowardly waste of a human being. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think you could abuse, frighten, and terrorize people consequence-free?
Well, you're white, so probably you had reason to believe that.
But I am happy to say, it seems, if you thought that you could come out loud and proud as a Nazi, face bared for the world to see, there will be consequences. Poor little snowflakes, please. Take this man, throw him in a cell, and let the laws of nature will out. Consider this. This snowflake is crying under threat of arrest. Meanwhile, in Durham, North Carolina, true patriots, honest, brave activists, are turning themselves into law enforcement in a show of solidarity. Here's the story. On Monday, as reported on here and elsewhere, activists in Durham, North Carolina, pulled down a statue of a Confederate soldier in the city in response to the events at Charlottesville. Well, it didn't take long for the sheriff of Durham to start arresting protesters who allegedly participated in toppling the statue. On Thursday morning, dozens of people rallied against the charges and attempted to turn themselves in, as well as those arrested, in an inspired, moving show of solidarity. And leftists are the snowflakes, right? The Cut reports that shortly afterwards, deputies reportedly began raiding the houses of those believed to be involved in the demonstration and arrested four people, including North Carolina Central University student Takiya Thompson. Thompson said before her arrest, quote, "I chose to do that because I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of white supremacy keeping its foot on my neck and on the neck of people who look like me. I was inspired by a history of black activists and history of black organizing," unquote. And I am inspired by Takiya. In multiple videos and images posted on Twitter on Thursday, activists gathered around the Durham courthouse and marched towards city jail to demand the charges be dropped and to try to turn themselves in too. Protesters also spoke of the importance of solidarity and of the danger of authorities targeting anti-racist freedom fighters. A total of 8 people now face charges of the toppling of this monument to a man who committed treason and was responsible for countless deaths. Now you tell me who the snowflake is. Is it Takiya Thompson? Is it this guy who's standing up in solidarity with his fellow activists who were arrested at the courthouse?
This is beautiful. This is what a democracy really looks like. When you have black folk and brown folk and women and men and queer and trans and Muslim and Christian and folks of all different walks here in this community. This is what democracy looks like. Those who are speaking to the issues of social justice, those to the issues of, again, racism and white supremacy, the issues of poverty, the issues of poor and oppressed people.
Or is it this guy?
That I've been law-abiding and I've been engaged in violence. I have. There's no question about it. And I...
Truly amazing. So get this. While this following story is not wholly surprising, it is still revolting. Months before, a man who turned his vehicle into a weapon and plowed through a group of protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia, an article made its rounds in conservative media, encouraged readers to do something similar. Encouraged readers to do exactly the same thing. CNN reports that this deplorable creature, Mike Roust, who was the video editor at the Daily Caller, conservative propaganda site founded by Tucker Carlson, one of Fox's viral, repugnant, obnoxious men's rights hosts, who is a popular voice in the modern American Nazi movement. So this guy Roust posted a piece on Daily Caller that also found its way onto Fox News's Fox Nation and several other conservative sites. The article carried the unsubtle headline, quote, "Here's a reel of cars plowing through protesters trying to block the road," unquote. Embedded in the article was a 1.5-minute long video showing one vehicle after another driving through demonstrations. The video was shared some 20,000 times. Roust wrote, quote, Here's a compilation of liberal protesters getting pushed out of the way by cars and trucks. Study the technique. It may prove useful the next 4 years. None of these clips are new, but that doesn't mean they're still not fresh. Unquote.
Oh, why aren't you clever and funny?
The footage was set to a cover of Ludacris's Move, Bitch. Move, Bitch! The article was published in January after the terrorist attack in Charlottesville. The outrage grew over the post, and Fox News deigned to finally take it down. Within hours, the Daily Caller had deleted its original post. CNN pointed out that this kind of thing is not unheard of in conservative media. When thousands of demonstrators gathered in Washington, D.C. in a march to protest the Dakota Access Pipeline, Daily Caller editor Katie Freights said on Twitter, quote, I wonder how many hashtag Native Nations Rise, hashtag no DAPL protesters I could run over before I got arrested. Hashtag get out of my way. Unquote.
You suck!
Glenn Reynolds, a conservative columnist and proprietor of the blog Instapundit, was briefly suspended by Twitter last year for his own tweet encouraging drivers to run over protesters in North Carolina. Is it any wonder? And it is more than just conservative media. GOP lawmakers are encouraging such terrorism. Think Progress reports that state lawmakers in at least 6 GOP-controlled states have pushed for laws this year that would shield drivers who ram into the protesters with their cars. The bills are part of a wave of anti-protest proposals introduced since the rise of Black Lives Matter and anti-Trump resistance movements. Two Republican lawmakers in South Dakota started the trend in January when they introduced a bill that would protect motorists who hit pedestrians blocking traffic, as long as the consequences are, quote, unintentional, unquote. Luckily, the bill was rejected in a 41-50 vote in February. But not before it inspired similar legislation in other red states across the country. Tennessee lawmakers proposed a measure to protect drivers from civil liability after motorists ran into safety workers at a rally against the Tangerine Queen's travel ban in Nashville. Police said that 5 or 6 protesters ended up on top of the SUV before the driver, who was not arrested, left the scene. Fortunately, again, the bill failed in House committee in March. Then in April, after Black Lives Matter activists blocked the streets and highways to protest the police shootings of Kenneth Lamont Scott in Charlotte, the North Carolina House approved legislation in a 67-48 vote that would shield drivers from charges if they hit protesters while exercising, quote, due care. State Representative Michael Spatial said in support of the bill, quote, these people are nuts to run in front of cars like they do. If somebody does bump somebody, why should they be held liable? Unquote. The state Senate has yet to take up the proposal. According to the outline, lawmakers in Florida, Rhode Island, and Texas have also flirted with similar measures this year. In Florida, a bill died in committee that would have prohibited lawsuits against drivers who unintentionally hit protesters, putting the burden of proof on the protesters. And a proposal in Rhode Island, meanwhile, has been held up for further study. And a bill in Texas, proposed in July, was recently referred to committee. Look, I understand that it's annoying and frustrating protesters illegally get in your way, but the solution is not to have motorists run them over. The solution is to call law enforcement and have it dealt with that way. Sometimes the only way for people to be heard is to disrupt, is to inconvenience others. Sometimes it is a necessary and vital evil, but shielding drivers from liability is purely evil. It is also not the only way that Republican states have attempted to crack down on peaceful protests. Since the start of the Trump presidency, according to the Washington Post, Republican lawmakers in at least 18 states have introduced bills to crack down on protesters. And if you have not heard, Jeff Zambogad Session, head Nazi of Donald J. R. Nazi and Chief's Justice Department, has convinced a judge to violate the privacy of concerned citizens. I don't know about you, but especially after the election, I was glued to the internet, liking any left-leaning page, group, petition, what have you. In my flurry, I was searching for the right protest to join up with at President Goldman Sachs' inauguration in Washington, D.C. One such group was called Disrupt J20. The website provided numerous materials to aid protesters, including maps to organize blockades, printable protest signs, and tips for legal observers. I ultimately did not attend a specific Disrupt J20 protest, but I did make use of their site and resources. And I was not alone. Some 1.3 million visitors clicked on Disrupt J20's site. The majority of the protests were peaceful. A small group, referred to in various outlets as the Black Bloc of the anti-fascist movements, Antifa, engaged in a violent protest, and rightfully so in many cases. More than 200 people were charged. Though, many of those 200 were unfairly arrested and mistreated, but that's a story for another time. But those arrests are not enough for our paranoid, punitive, and out-of-control Republican government. Last month, federal investigators convinced a judge to issue a search warrant for DreamHost, who hosted Disrupt J20's site, demanding that they turn over the contact data of 1.3 million visitors that clicked on Disrupt J20, including what each visitor viewed or uploaded. Prosecutors are trying to prove that demonstrators conspired to riot in advance. They argue that Disrupt J20 was used in the development, planning, advertisement, and organization of a violent riot that occurred in Washington, D.C. DreamHost is fighting the order. DreamHost said that it's been working with the GOJ for several months on its request, which the company believes is, quote, a strong example of investigatory overreach and a clear abuse of governmental authority, unquote. DreamHost argued that the information that the DOJ is requesting could be used to identify any individuals who use the site to exercise and express political speech protected under the Constitution's First Amendment. That should be enough to set off alarm bells in anyone's mind. DreamHost has a hearing on the matter scheduled for Friday in D.C. I find this chilling, which is exactly what the fascistic administration wants. They want to put a chill on organizing, on activists, on the American people. This is the kind of thing that we see in China or Russia. America as we know it is slipping through our fingers. It is laughable that they would think that they had a hope of cooling the resistance movement with tactics like this. It will only incite and enrage us further. They continue to provide fuel to the movement with each new injustice, racist diatribe, cynical law, revoked regulation, neglected hate crime, perpetrated hate crime, domestic white terrorist attack, attempt to silence the people or curb the movement, and so on. I dare you, Donald, Sessions, or whoever else, I dare you to continue such acts. You have not seen anything yet. There is so much more to come. I dare you. Test the resistance. See what we're made of.
Let me close by saying that we have difficult days ahead in the struggle for justice and peace, but I will not yield to a politic of despair. I'm going to maintain hope. As we come to Washington in this campaign, the cards are stacked against us. This time we will really confront a Goliath. God grants that we will be that David of truth set out against the Goliath of injustice, the Goliath of neglect, the Goliath of refusing to deal with the problems, and go on with the determination make America the truly great America that it is called to be.
The resistance is growing everywhere in America. And it is clear that there will be a few heroes that will go down in history and be remembered throughout time from this period. People like Martin Luther King, who campaigned for racial equality, or Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese leader who helped free her country from military rule.
People of Burma, who have been for so long deprived of their rights and their place in the world. As I said yesterday in Oxford, my country today stands at the start of a journey towards, I hope, a better future. So many hills remain to be climbed, chasms to be bridged, obstacles to be breached. Our own determination can get us so far. The support of the people of Britain and of peoples around the world can get us so much further.
Over time, some of these famous leaders become representatives of a larger movement, to the point that the achievements and the sacrifices of those who fought alongside them are lost to history. I just learned about someone who had never heard of, so I thought, why not briefly share about him with you? We are in a rare time in history. You've heard of Frederick Douglass, but what about Octavius Carter? You've heard of Frederick Douglass, with good reason, gone down as one of the most influential African-American activists of the 19th century. Douglass was born into slavery, but after teaching himself how to read and write, and then escaping from his masters, he went to become one of the leaders of the abolitionist movement. Even today, his work still reads in schools across the U.S. Octavius Carter's achievements were no less important. Before he'd even turned 30, Carter had led a successful fight to desegregate Philadelphia's horse-drawn streetcars. A few years later, following the passage of the 15th Amendment, which enfranchised African Americans, Carter campaigned tirelessly to ensure his peers were allowed to exercise their rights as citizens. It was while he was doing this that he was shot dead. At the time, his murder caused public outcry, but today most people have never heard of him. Even though, as NPR noted, the forgotten hero laid the foundations for campaigns who came after him, Carter and his generation left footsteps for 20th century men and women to follow. All right, before I go, there is a bit of back and forth on what to do when it comes to these Nazi rallies, which more scheduled for this weekend. Nazi, alt-right, whatever the hell you want to call them. I am trying not to use the term alt-right anymore because that's their term, and it softens what they really are. Even white nationalists sounds too damn nice. They're Nazis. Neo-Nazis, if you want. White supremacist, fine. Fascist, for sure. Anyways, there's a bit of back and forth about what to do when they have these rallies. Do we show up and face off with these foul creatures, or does that just feed the trolls? I mean, if a Nazi chants in the woods, does it make a sound? So I went to the Southern Poverty Law Center to see what they were saying about it. This is what I got. Quote, "Do not attend a hate rally. Find another outlet for anger and frustration for other people's desire to do something. Hold a unity rally or a parade to draw media attention away from the hate. Hate is a First Amendment right. Courts have routinely upheld the constitutional right of the Ku Klux Klan and other hate groups to hold rallies and say whatever they want. Communities can restrict group movements to avoid conflicts with other citizens, but hate rallies will continue. Your effort should focus on channeling people away from the hate rallies. Do not attend a hate rally. As much as you might like to physically show your opposition to hate, confrontations serve only the perpetrators. They always burden law enforcement with protecting hate mongers from the otherwise law-abiding citizens." Unquote. Which is fair. It just means that we're going to have to get creative. Before I go, I feel a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. is called for. "If one is rejected because he is uneducated, he can at least be consoled by the fact that it may be possible for him to get an education. If one is rejected because he is low on the economic ladder, he can at least dream of the day when he will rise from his dungeon of economic deprivation. If one is rejected because he speaks with an accent, he can at least, if he desires, work to bring his speech in line with the dominant group. If, however, one is rejected because of his color, he must face the anguishing fact that he is being rejected because of something in himself that cannot be changed. All prejudice is evil, but the prejudice that rejects a man because of the color of his skin is the most despicable expression of a man's inhumanity to man." Unquote. So there you go. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of Resistance, on the Crab Diving Network. That's at crabdiving.com, crabdiving.com. That's one word. Under the K-Voice tab, or download my show as a podcast. And you can also find my show on Citizen Truth at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice. And, of course, follow me on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. All right, take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
If you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you aren't fit to live. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice.